We have been looking at different aspects of pride. And one of the things about pride is that one of the aspects of it is that it is the sin that God hates most. Most. It's not like any other sin. The sin of pride God hates most because it contributes and leads us into other sins. Now, one of the things about a church, we have a church family here. I believe that almost all of us, if not everyone, knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And if you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you will speak to me at the door after service, we'll go to my office and we will make sure that you are sure of where you stand with God this morning. When a person gets saved and becomes a part of a church, it's the church's, and I'm going to use the word job, it's the church's privilege to share and teach the Word of God in truth, not from man's understanding, but from what God wrote and what the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to write in the way of ideas and principles and commands from God. And so the church teaches that. And most of it is taught on a really school level, as a school, in the way of just teaching so that you can learn. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will show the leadership or the pastor, I'm no different than any of you are. I'm still learning from the Word. I'm not any better, and hopefully not any worse than any of you folks. We're all equal in the sight of God. We have to be saved, or when we die, we're going to go to hell because we haven't been forgiven our sins. We haven't repented of them. Christ's blood is not covering them because we haven't asked for that from God. We haven't been born again if we haven't asked. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit indwells our heart at the moment that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in Romans 10, verse 9, if we shall confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, period.
Amen.
But as we get deeper in the Lord, and we should get deeper, all the time we should be getting deeper and deeper and deeper. As we get deeper in the Lord, we're going to want to get more and more sin out of our lives to be more pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And one of the sins that I have mentioned for seems like years now is the sin of pride, because it is the sin that God hates most, because it leads to so many other sins. Before, I can assure you of this, in the 7 years I've been here, and we're getting very close to the 7 year anniversary. In the 7 years that I have been here, I have never preached the same message twice. And now, the Holy Spirit has brought me under conviction about something so important, that the very foundation of your life and my life must rest upon that. And I can do nothing but share with you what the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart. This morning we're going to look at doing God's will. Doing God's will. And I would ask you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 3. Mark, chapter 3. Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples. His mother and family were standing outside. They wanted to talk to him, but they didn't want to come in. They wanted him to come out. And in Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 31, we read this. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus Christ made this statement to what the Bible calls a multitude that was gathered about him. And the verse that we want to pursue this morning is verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Father, as we look into your word now, we ask that there might be the presence of your Holy Spirit in each heart. Father, as he ministers to the needs of our souls, may your will be done, and may Jesus Christ be glorified, and we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I hope that when you came to this verse in your Bible reading, and I hope that you are reading your Bibles every day at some point, I hope you are, because you're not going to ever know what God wants for you. You're not going to grow in the Lord. But I hope in your Bible reading, when you came to this verse, you stopped and you thought about what Jesus was saying. Because what he was saying applies to a specific group of people. I'm not in a position to make any judgment as to who is in that group of people, but you are in a perfect position to make that determination for yourself, because you're the one who must determine whether you are doing the will of God. You are the one. I can't determine that for you. You have to determine that. Jesus made this statement before he gave the Sermon on the Mount. At that time, the people who offended God's will and God's law, if they committed a sin that they knew about, they had to bring a live animal to the temple. They had to cut its throat and gather the blood in a basin as it died. And that was their offering for their sin. It was then given to the priest. He took it in, sprinkled it on the altar, and did what God said had to be done. At the time he was making these statements, that was the law, God's law. Since then, Jesus Christ after having lived a perfect, sinless life, yielded his life. Let his blood be shed for the sins of the whole world that covers us. And after that, we no longer lived by sacrifice. We lived by God's grace. Now, there are some things going on in all of our lives. We don't like to admit it. But everyone sitting in this auditorium this morning has an element of pride in your life. And I have said that before. But in the last few weeks, God has really dealt with me about this. And so this morning, I'm going to share some things with you. We know Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Okay, blood has been shed. If you have asked Jesus Christ to save you, you have remission this morning. Now today, if a person never accepted Jesus Christ, how would they take care of their sin? They would have to go back to the Old Testament and bring an animal and sacrifice it, but there's no temple anymore. There's no altar to offer a burnt sacrifice on. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. And for that long, the Jewish nation has not been able to make a sacrifice to cover their sin. The only ones whose sin is covered are those who have been born again by the power of God's Holy Spirit that came to this earth on the day of Pentecost and indwelled all of those who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. He still does the same thing today. Most of us have grown up in a country where children were taught about Jesus Christ on Sunday school, where churches preached about Jesus Christ. And we were in that position that we just read about in Mark 35. We're gathered around him to learn from him what he expects of us, what he wants from us. Now, I appreciate those of you who are starting at midnight tonight, taking time out to pray for this church ministry and for our nation. The list is still out there to be signed up. There's still some blanks on it. I knew that everybody would probably be vying for that 2 a.m. time. So I signed up on that for, you know, so there would be no arguing over it or fighting over it. And so I normally get up. Usually the Lord wakes me up before 2 o'clock. And I go then and spend my time praying. And it's not 2 to 2:30. It's usually long after 3 before I am done praying. One of the things I've been praying for is I have been praying that all of us, myself included, all of us might experience humility. Because you see, as long as we have pride in our hearts, we cannot experience humility. And if we want to be like Jesus, he was humble. God has given me a love for all of you. It's a special love. It's that only Christians know amongst themselves. And that love compels me to pray for you that God will give you and permit you to have and experience genuine humility. For weeks, I've been praying this. For weeks, I've been wondering, how can I get humility? Because every time I look, there's pride again bubbling up in my life. And I'm sure you're having the same battles. We know what God hates most. He hates pride. I want him to love our ministry. I want him to love every person in our ministry, everyone associated with it. Now, he loves you. He hates your pride, but he loves you. And I have been looking at pride in my own life. I have been reading a lot of commentaries and things about it. And there are some things that are pride that we don't even recognize, or at least I didn't. And I want to share some of these things with you this morning. Because as long as I have pride in my heart or in my life, I cannot be humble. Tonight, we're going to talk about what humility is. Thank you, AB. Message had to end here if it wasn't for that glass of water. When you get into a situation that we would call a crisis, could be health, could be finances, could be social relationships, could be any number of things. If you become concerned about it, that is pride. Huh? I see some of you look, some of these strange looks on your faces. If you become concerned about a crisis that God brings into your life, if you become concerned, that's pride. Because you can't do anything about it. But you think you can, that's why you're concerned. True. And we do get concerned. We worry, we fret, we figure. Pride. It's hiding everywhere. And God does not want us to have pride. God wants us to be humble. And we cannot. If pride and humility, I'm jumping into tonight's message, pride and humility cannot live in the same soul at the same time. They cannot cohabitate. And so we have a challenge from God to eliminate the pride in our life. When you do a good job, maybe it's building something, maybe it's just cleaning the house, running the vacuum, and you feel pride that you did a good job, there it is. How do we fight this? Jesus Christ was humble. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he humbled himself coming out of heaven to be born as a little infant, powerless, dependent upon his mother and the people around him. He was humble. He was never proud. He never acted in pride. He was God. He had a lot to be proud of, but he didn't. Can you think of one incident in the Bible, in the New Testament, where he lorded who he was over anybody? Even when he was chiding the Pharisees and the scribes, he wasn't doing it in pride. Now, since the day that you and I were born, we have been proud. We have been. Why do you think a baby cries when it gets hungry? I want. It doesn't have the mental capacity to reason that through, but it's because it wants something. I'm wet. Come do something about this. Pride. And all of our life we have been taught, be proud. Make your parents proud of you. Be proud of the kind of job you do. When God wants humility. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to help us. He doesn't come to hurt us or to chide us or to do anything but help us. Romans 8, 26. I'm going to bring, you've heard me quote Romans 8, 28. Probably 40 or 50 times. He says more than that. Okay. More than that. But I want to add two verses to that. I want to go two verses before it. Let me read that. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It changes it. It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit. And it's about the will of God upon each one of us. I don't want to offend Sister Faye, but when she started making a habit of getting rear-ended, I'll bet she didn't get upset, did she? She knew that God was permitting that to come into her life. I hope she did. And when something comes into your life, some kind of a, you think, disaster, you don't have to worry because you are not responsible for fixing it. Now, I have said this before, and you may not have understood how much I really believe this, but if we give everything to God, everything we have, I mean everything we have, he owns it. We don't. When it breaks, we don't have to fix it. That includes relationships. If we are operating in faith, and Tim talked about faith this morning in Sunday school, if we are walking by faith, then when the tragedy occurs or the tribulation enters our life, we just look up. We just look up. And we let him fix it. We let him fix it. And we will, if we have the leading of God's Holy Spirit, if we have the leading of God's Holy Spirit, then everything works together for good. And that means everything. And if we get involved, it's pride on our part that we think we can do a better job than God can. And people, I would imagine that everybody sitting in this auditorium at one time or another have tried to fix something and tried to usurp God's authority. He is the one who's in control. We belong to him. We don't belong to us. Now, there is something that I pray for, and that's why the purpose of our prayer time on beginning at midnight on Sunday night through the 24 hours we call Monday. One of the things we pray for, I hope, is revival. Revival. That our spirit might be restored. Let me read a couple verses of Scripture. Psalm 85:6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That was David writing that. And it's a plea from David for Israel. And I've made the same plea for us, for our church, as a church family. And the next verse that I found seems to be a problem for all of us. And that would be Isaiah 57:15. You might want to turn there. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Two qualifications: humility and contrition. What is contrition? Contrition is actually being sorry for the sins that we have committed. Or for the things that we have done that were wrong. Contrition. It's one thing to confess our sins. We've got John, 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But with that, there must be contrition. We must be sorry for our sins. Genuinely sorry. Sin is no laughing matter. not to God, it shouldn't be to us. And if we are genuinely, genuinely sorry, there's a very strong likelihood that we will not commit that sin again. But if there is no genuine contrition, we're going to be going back to God over and over and over and confessing the same sin over and over and over. Looking again at Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that's God, that inhabiteth eternity, which he does, whose name is holy, which it is. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, with those who are of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart, the soul, of the contrite ones. You know why I've been having such a difficulty? And I'm just sharing my heart with you this morning. You know why I've had such a difficulty with this business of humility? Because I didn't have the contrition with it that I should have had. It's easy to confess sins, but God expects us to be sorry for them, genuinely sorry. And if we enjoyed the sin, we may not be sorry. Go and confess it, but it's still there. And God says, in order for us to be revived, in order for us to experience revival, we must be of a humble spirit, and we must be sorry for the bad things that we've done, for the wrong things that we've done. And so, when we go to God and we confess our sin, somewhere in here there better be some sorrow. Not because we got caught, not because we think it may be separating us from a good relationship with God, because we have offended God. We have hurt the one we are supposed to love. We've probably hurt people around us too by that sin. We just don't realize it. Wow. No wonder I've been having difficulties. You see, I can't share anything with you that I'm not willing to do and take on myself. And as I have been praying and asking God to revive my heart, revive my spirit, give me the joy of my salvation. I remember the night I got saved. The cleanness that was suddenly in me. The sin was all gone. I was a new creature. And I remember that night, at a particular time of that night, when I looked up at a starry sky. And I asked God, where do I go from here? I didn't go on the path he laid out. That took a while to get back there. Maybe you didn't either. But tonight, or is it tonight, this morning, we are adults. Most of us have been in the Lord for a while. And as being in Him, we should be ready to act like adults. We should desire to have humility. And yet, look at the pride. Look at the pride cropping up in our lives. Because we are doing things in our own strength. We are doing things not by faith, but we are walking by sight. And so, it's my fault for not communicating this better. But I want you to understand how important it is to God that we be humble and that we have contrition for our sin. In Isaiah 57:15, it says those two have to be together and God will revive. God will make new. He'll restore. You see the problem? God clearly says He wants to revive His people. But they have to be humble and contrite. Pride is one of the things that is keeping all of us from revival. Now we can spend time on our knees praying for it. And perhaps the Holy Spirit will somehow work some of the pride out of our lives, that He can replace it with humility. I looked up the word contrite. It says, feeling of deep sorrow or remorse for having sinned or done something wrong. And I had to go back and look at my life again. I had to go way back and make sure that I was sorry for some of the things I had done. Some of them we just brush off. We say, well, you know, I'm human. That's pride. When we are not contrite about our sin, when we are not humble, then we are preventing God from reviving our souls. We all need revival because we're not contrite about our sin, all of it. I'm going to get a little more personal right now. Say, well, you've already walked all over me. All sin is offensive to God. All sin is offensive to God. And in God's sight, there is no little sin and there is no big sin. A little white lie is just as bad as adultery in God's sight. Just as bad. All sin is the same in God's sight. And sin is an offense to Him. So, if we commit sins, we are hurting the heart of God. We are. Well, you might think, well, my sin's not so bad. Your sin sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Your sin helped drive the nails through His hands, through His feet. Your sin is what caused that soldier to punch the chest with his spear that poured out the blood and the water. It was your sin. Mine too, but it was yours. And when we make light of our sin, no matter what it is, maybe something we shouldn't have said, and we make light of it. Well, that's just me. You got to understand, that's me. What we are doing is we are telling God, I don't love you as much as I love me. That's what sin is. I really, sincerely mean it when I say, I hope I never hear the expression again in this church, well, it's just the way I am. Because if it's wrong, it's sin. And we are saved from sin. We are supposed to be different people. And the reason that we're not what we want to be, or at least what I hope you want to be, is because of pride. And the Holy Spirit wants to deal with that. I've come to a conclusion that if I'm not experiencing revival in my heart, that I either have unconfessed sin or unrepented sin, or I'm not contrite about my sin. And maybe that's the same problem some of you are having. I don't know. I can't see your hearts. One of the reasons that we have difficulty with knowing God's will for our life, and many times for the moment, is that we don't have clean hearts. And the Holy Spirit can't seem to communicate with us. God absolutely, positively must be first in our life. No matter what, he's got to come ahead of the kids, he's got to come ahead of the mate, he's got to come ahead of the job, he's got to come ahead of everything. He has to be first in our life. And that way we will be thinking about him and not about us. We'll be thinking about him and not about the things of the world. Because if he's not first, that enemy of ours, that thing I call pride, is going to continue to well up and well up and well up in our lives. As I examine my own heart, I found that there were sins that I had repented of, but sins for which I had no contrition. I'm just, says us to confess our faults one to another. As I went back and examined my life, I found that there were sins I had confessed, and I'd just gone on my way, but no real contrition, no real sorrow. And the Holy Spirit began to help me to have sorrow about the sin in my life. I'm going to read that verse in Isaiah again, Isaiah 57:15. And you might want to underline this one in your Bible. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What will keep God from reaching out to you to give you revival? Pride will separate you from God. Lack of sorrow will show God that you really don't care. Making excuses will demonstrate to the world that sin means nothing to you, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was vain. Folks, I don't know if you've realized it before this, but sin is a very serious business. And sin will keep God from doing the things that he wants to do for us. We need to take it very seriously. Father, as we come to the close of this service, I would ask that your Holy Spirit might truly work in our hearts, that as we have looked at the truths in your word, that we realize that we must submit to your will, not ours. Bring the folks back tonight that we might find out where we can get humility. And Father, I pray that you will have your will in each life and heart, and that you will be glorified by what we do with our lives in this week to come. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.